All right. Well, you guys are in the splash zone up here. This is a fun time at church, let me tell you. The number of people who want to do cannonballs in our horse trough, man, I'm telling you, it's good. I just think it's pretty cool that we keep it authentic. You know, we don't clean it out after the horses use it. So you get that natural kind of baptism feel, right? Well, this morning, we're going to have an awesome time of celebrating baptism together. And you might be thinking to yourself, what really is baptism? You know, like, this is kind of weird. Like, some people do this thing at ponds or pools, and some really weird people, like, haul out horse troughs. Like, we've been doing the horse trough since maybe the Great Escape Theater. That was pretty fun. Anybody at the Great Escape Theater out in the parking lot when we did some horse trough baptizing? That's a way to get noticed in the community. I'm not going to lie. They're like, what are you guys doing, right? Well, baptism is a little bit about maybe getting noticed, I think, in a way. It's something we call a Christian sacrament, which is very fancy and very formal, which is very White Rock-ish. But, no, I'm just kidding, not at all, right? But the word sacrament really refers to this idea of, well, something that's sacred. And so baptism is a sacred practice, something really, really, really special that we do that is really, really important. And this word baptizo in the Greek, the original language that the Bible, the New Testament was written in, describes this idea of baptism as something dipping, plunging, immersing into water. And so we practice something called water baptism. And here at White Rock, we practice something we call believer's baptism. You may have been in a church where you were sprinkled as a child or had experienced an infant baptism. I'd love to talk to you about that experience sometime and how you felt. You probably don't remember any of it, right? Because that was more like your family doing that. Believer's baptism is really somebody choosing as a believer in Jesus Christ, saying, hey, I want to be baptized in faith. So the sprinkling thing, there's a place for it. I think it fits. But we really practice something we call submersion here as much as we can. You know, you're in a hospital and you need to be baptized. Like, that's tricky to drag you in and stick you in a tub. And, you know, if you're hanging on the cross next to Jesus and you say, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and he says, today you will be with me in paradise, it's hard to figure out how to baptize that guy. So baptism is a really sacred and important thing, and there's some different ways maybe you experience it. But together, we like this awesome experience of horse troughing because it's pretty symbolic, this whole idea of baptism. Here's what baptism represents and why we take part in it together as a church and as followers of Jesus Christ. Baptism is symbolic in this water idea of washing away our sin. A lot of us took showers and we washed away a lot of stuff. This idea of submersion in this water is, it doesn't wash away your sins. The Bible's real clear that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin. Water doesn't do that. But what water sort of does is symbolically, in kind of an image kind of way, paints a visual picture of somebody's sins being washed away. And you might be thinking like, well, that's interesting and weird and churchy, but I'm not really a whole like, what is that sin thing? And I totally get that. But here's the condition of all humanity. Every single one of us are guilty before God of sin. The perfect God who created everything put us in a place that was perfect. And good old Adam and Eve, great, 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 great. They weren't that great, but really great Adam and Eve made choices and brought sin into the human race. And just like a slave culture where a baby born into slavery isn't free, right? They're trapped in slavery. You and I suffer from generational sin. We're human, and because we're human, we're trapped in this human sin condition. And you may think that's not fair, and you may not like that. I don't like that. I didn't do anything to deserve what Adam and Eve did. That was their choice, right? I get you. So let's forget that for just a second, because you also have another sin problem, and that's your personal sin problem before God. Because God gave us some rules, things like 10 commandments, you know, like don't lie, don't steal, right? Don't envy. And I don't know about you, but I probably broke a few of those this week, right? Every one of us has fallen short, Scripture says, of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, what we earn because of that, is eternal death. But thanks be to God, because the gift of Jesus is available to all of us. And Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice, and he suffered and he died, and he allowed himself to take the penalty, the wrath, for all of us. And he gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with him. And through him, the one and only way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But through Jesus, we have an opportunity to be reunited, reconnected to God, our sins forgiven, made right, and the promised inheritance, not just a reward of eternity, but an inheritance, because we got adopted, like we talked about last week, adopted into relationship with God as his sons and as his daughters, and that's a beautiful thing. And so we celebrate baptism as a symbolic picture of those sins being washed away because of what Jesus offers us. And I just want you to know, there's not enough sin that you can do to not be given the invitation. You can't screw it up bad enough. Some of us have really tried. But Jesus, his forgiveness is offered freely to anyone who would accept it. Turn from their sinfulness, repent, and come and follow him. And there's an element of that confession in baptism that we see. Washing away our sins. And the imagery of submersion. Some places will dip forward or do some different things, but our practice is a dipping back and coming forward because it really paints this picture of being dead to sin, then being raised to life in Christ. We're not really dead under the water, and while there's not a physiological transformation, we do believe that in this moment of baptism, there's something special the Holy Spirit does in us that's transformative in our hearts, that changes us a little bit and impacts us in a way, because we are buried with Christ symbolically. Take a look at this scripture in Romans. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's what baptism is. That's the picture. And why baptism? Well, kind of hit some of that. But here's some other things, because sometimes you're like, well, why do I have to get baptized? Why do I really need to get baptized? I believe in Jesus. Well, here's the thing. Number one, Jesus did it. He got baptized. So it's kind of hard to be like, well, I'm not doing it, Jesus, because I don't want to get baptized. Jesus is like, well, I did it. Oh, okay, that makes sense. And Jesus told us we ought to do it, right? That's kind of the other fun part. You can parade right on up here, Renee, so everybody gets a good seat. The kids are going to come join us because, you know, you can't have a pool party at church and the kids don't get to come over from next door, right? Totally legit. So while you guys are getting set, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, we're supposed to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching everyone to obey everything that he's commanded us to do. So why baptism? Well, for sure, Jesus told us to do it, and so we want to be obedient, right? And getting baptized is an act of obedience in faith, right, for Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. But then also, there's this fancy word called identification. Yeah, if you want to grab your kids, they can sit with you. It's totally fair. We just thought we'd stick them in the corner, you know, have some fun. Yeah, that's true, man. That might be better. Might be more appropriate, Gary. You should probably just sit in the corner, man. That's you're good, man. Gary's just cheating, man. He wants a front row. You see how he did that? That was skill right there. He's like, I'll just kind of, you know, make my way up this direction. Guy's a pro. Look at that. Look at that. All right, so identification, this idea that we identify with Christ in baptism. That makes sense? It's a public statement. So in a few moments, we're going to have some people come up here, and we're going to get baptized. And this imagery really is a picture of confessing, right? It's a confession. I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you're going to hear me ask a couple questions about that stuff. And they are professing that publicly to everybody and publicizing loudly their faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a statement, a loud and clear statement. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be baptized in obedience to him. And there's places in the world that you can say you're a follower of Christ, you can go to a Christian church, but until you take the act of baptism, they don't recognize legally your status as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's how serious baptism is in a lot of spots. So, all right, you know what? Let's get going. Well, baptism is a pretty big deal, and following Jesus Christ really matters. And it takes a lot of courage to say in front of all your family and friends, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm committed to this thing to the end. And so make sure you greet all the folks who are baptized on the way out. Congratulate them. That's an awesome thing. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for the invitation to be part of your family, for the forgiveness of sins, for washing away all our guilt and our shame, and allowing us to stand before you robed in the righteousness of Christ. I pray over all of these folks who've been baptized today. I pray, Lord, that you would guide them and direct them, that all eternity would look different because of who they are and how they live and love and serve and impact the world around them. Help them to stand strong and to hold on to you for all their worth. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us as a church family and as friends and neighbors and community members. Lord, I pray you would help us to stand alongside them and to be a voice of encouragement and hope and help and strength in the midst of everything they navigate. Thank you so much for your incredible love and the joy we get to be together in this day. Pray go with us now in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.